Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, whatever you're doing, running, working, having lunch, blowing work off, whatever it is. As long as you're downloading us on a daily basis, we thank you for doing so. We thank you for rating us 5 stars. We thank you for subscribing. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard here with me today. We are talking a little bit about the Toronto Raptors game, which, when you're listening to this on Tuesday, this is the Tuesday night game, a big game to potentially put the Celtics in a tie for second in the East. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit of All-Star, and we will talk a little bit about SeatGeek, which is today's sponsor. SeatGeek is the easiest, smartest way for you to find tickets to the games or shows or whatever event that you want to see up close and in person this season. So, Sam, Celtics, Raptors, no Avery Bradley. And if you haven't heard, the Raptors have a pretty good backcourt. Avery Bradley might have been able to help.
Yeah, he's one of the better perimeter defenders, and you'd expect him to be the guy on DeMar DeRozan. And he's not in the lineup. Although I can't say that Bradley has had too much success, at least in the recent history, against DeRozan. It feels like DeRozan's really been able to shoot over the top of him. So maybe getting a taller guard like Marcus Smart in there will be helpful. But it doesn't really help because the Celtics in the past have done a good job of kind of putting Smart and Bradley on Lowry and DeRozan. And now it kind of this really forces Isaiah to step up and play defense. So I don't think Bradley's injury kind of counts the Celtics out by any means, because we've seen what Isaiah Thomas has done when Bradley's been out, and just in terms of scoring and points, but it's not going into full strength is less than ideal for these Boston Celtics.
What I'm more worried about is what somebody like Corey Joseph is going to do to the Celtics, or depending on the lineups, like a Terrence Ross or somebody, the not usual suspect. And I think with Bradley out and you can't bring Smart in to face one of those backup guys or to do some sort of combination with the three guards, that's what I'm afraid of is a guy, look, Lowry, DeRozan, they're going to generally get theirs. And it's the other guys that you have to control if you're going to beat the Raptors. And I'm just a little bit afraid that the lack of depth, you're going to throw Terry Rozier in there, and not that he's a bad defender, but he's not Avery Bradley.
Yeah, especially because the Raptors lately they've been going small regarding to Murray Carroll at the four, so you're going to need more wing depth, which is something the Celtics have struggled with all year, especially on the defensive end of the floor. So Rozier's going to have to step up, Jaylen Brown's going to have to step up, and I'm not too confident in those guys going into the game, but I don't want to sound like I think the Celtics are definitely going to lose, because as we've seen this offense, and as you and Jay talked about yesterday, this offense is scoring at an incredible incredible rate, so they could really keep up with anyone. It's just whether or not they're going to be able to keep those guys down. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, but it's definitely a great place for the Celtics to be able to measure where they are in the Eastern Conference and whether or not they deserve to kind of be in the same sentence as the Raptors.
This could be a 130 to 125 game where the Raptors are the third best offense in the league. The Celtics are the seventh best offense in the league, and yet they are 21st and 19th defensively. So a couple of teams that
bet the over.
Yeah, seriously, bet it hard. So I think this could be a very high scoring. We could see each team score 30 points at least in every quarter. So it'll be an interesting offensive game here. I got to apologize to people because I'm fighting off some kind of flu. So if I don't sound great or if I get a little bit of a coughing fit in the middle, I just want to apologize. But so back to the Raptors. I think Avery Bradley, forget the defense, the offense, he's been fantastic, especially early and especially on the road. For the Celtics to lose that kind of scoring is a big that hurts them a lot. They count on him for especially that first quarter scoring. I didn't even think to do the research, but I bet he has scored the first basket in almost every road game so far this season.
Ooh, I like that. I just based on memory alone, that plays. He's been most consistent kind of secondary scorer after Isaiah. You'll have Al Horford have his games. You'll have Jay Crowder have a game here. But Avery's been the most consistent guy, giving you 18 to 20 points a night. So that is, well, he's known for his defense, but really he stepped up on the offensive end. So that's probably where the Celtics are going to miss him. So if Marcus Smart can do something like he did against the Pelicans, it becomes less of a big deal. But if Marcus Smart goes back to kind of normal shooting Marcus Smart, then you see Isaiah having to score upwards of 30 or 35 points just to keep the game close.
Yeah. So I'm not so worried about the Celtics winning or losing this game. Obviously we'd love to win, but if this is a competitive, hard fought game, then I'm okay with however it works out, especially being a little shorthanded. But the Celtics do need to clean a lot of things up. Jay had a great piece on Mass Live. Brad Stevens revealed to the team today, and we learned this through Amir Johnson, that they are 27th in the league in defending side pick and rolls. This is, for those of you who are listening who are more casual fans, this is a good idea of just how in-depth a lot of these things go. Pick and rolls in the middle of the floor, they're at the top of the league. Side pick and rolls, they're having problems figuring out their communication. And Jay illustrated that pretty nicely where Al Horford was out of position and Marcus Smart was defending a play one way, thinking that Horford was going to be in a certain position and he wasn't. And that's still something that they need to kind of tighten up. Once they do tighten some of that stuff up and they learn, and look, Al Horford spent his entire career playing a different kind of defensive scheme. You learn eventually, but I think there's still some learning curve going on here. So the January game against the Raptors, it's a nice measuring stick, but as long as they play hard, as long as they keep it close, as long as it's a hard-fought battle and they show that they are right there in the mix, the actual win or loss, it's not as important to me right now.
No, it's an 82-game season, and you just want them to be playing good basketball and hopefully improving things on the defensive end. Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be good. It's always good to get a win. It's always good to get a head-to-head win, but it's definitely not the end of the season or anything like that if they lose. It would just be fun to see them kind of tied for second place in the standings, and you get to start thinking about what would happen if Brad Stevens was the coach of the Eastern Conference All-Star team, which is really a fascinating and hilarious idea.
That would be phenomenal, worth the price of admission, and I bet you could get all-star tickets on SeatGeek. They won't be cheap, but you'll find the best deal if you found yourself in New Orleans and you wanted to get into that all-star game. SeatGeek would do all of the work for you, because what SeatGeek does is they aggregates all of the big ticket sites. It tells you where the good deals are, when to buy, and it color codes everything so you have a good idea of where the good deals are. So it's never been easier to find the seats you want to a basketball game, or hey, look, football playoffs. If you wanted to get into the Patriots game on Saturday night, they can find your way in there with that. And you can do it last minute, because you could just download the tickets right to your app on the phone, and you can just show it at the gate and you're in. So you could do that for sports. You could do that for a concert. You could do that for anything. If you want to get to Broadway, it's all there on SeatGeek. And here is the best thing about it. If you haven't done this yet, you get $20 back after your first ticket purchase with our promo code. This is all you got to do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter LO Celtics. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LO Celtics. Do it today. Do it right now. If you're in Toronto, you can go to the game. You can go to the Celtics game, and you can watch to see if the Celtics win and somehow elevate Brad Stevens and staff to the All-Star game coaching duties, because the second seed team, they're the ones that get to coach the All-Star team, which would be, I mean, he would actually, I think, be drawing up legit plays.
Oh, that would be, he would just side out of bounds for the alley-oops in general. I just wanted to, like, hopefully he'd be mic'd up for the whole game, and his interactions with kind of the star players. I don't know. I kind of see Brad Stevens as an awkwarder guy. It's just in terms of kind of status in the league. Just to see him interacting with the LeBrons of the world and kind of the elite players in the league, it amuses me. And he's also very competitive, so I like the idea of him playing to win. Also, it'd be fun to see. We haven't seen him with that much talent ever. So just
Brad
Stevens with that much talent would be a joy for any basketball fan to watch.
You know, and look, hey, you're in that All-Star scenario. You get to talk to guys. This is your chance to sort of recruit a little bit. It's a great opportunity. You put the Celtics coaching staff into that situation, and you know, you start talking to guys.
Isaiah Thomas last year with Al Horford, they started the discussion, started the recruiting.
Yep, that absolutely. So why not? Why not go in there and give potential free agents the chance to see what it's like to play for Brad just for a little bit, but get out there and get a sense for what he is, who he is as a coach. That'd be fantastic. So I think that has some actual importance beyond our own entertainment. So since we're here, since we're talking All-Star, let's just fill out our rosters, because the voting is so weird this year. It started on Christmas Day and it's over next week. You got one more week left to vote. So it seems a lot shorter this year.
Well, it is, because they want to take the power away from the fans, which I am all for after seeing the first round of voting from the first tally from the fans.
If Zaza Pachulia makes the All-Star game, then just burn it all to the ground. That's horrible. So if you haven't seen it, he's currently second. He was second among forwards, right? So that's got to go away. That has to stop. So
above his teammate Draymond Green.
Yeah.
I'm actually was more insulted by the fact that Dwayne Wade was the second guard in the East, and that Derrick Rose was the fifth guard in the East ahead of Kyle Lowry. I was kind of actually more amused by Zaza Pachulia, because I just imagine Jay King doing the Zaza in front of a national audience.
It's all Jay's fault. He's the one who made this happen.
No, that's absolutely true.
So the voting, the fan voting ends in a week, and then the media and players get a chance to vote, and that all somehow gets tallied, and we'll find out who our starters are, and then the coaches select the subs. So, all right, let's fill this out. Why don't we work this out here? We're going to talk through our East and West. I'm going to pull the homer card right now. I'm just going to get it out of the way. Isaiah Thomas is a starter for me in the East.
Yeah, I know. I would actually agree. As objectively as possible, I think he's been the second best guard in the East after Kyle Lowry, who I'm going to put as my second starter, starting guard for the East.
I like that.
Lowry's been great for the basically leading, especially kind of in the past couple of weeks. I know the Raptors had a kind of epic collapse against the Rockets the other night, but Lowry has been very good and brings it on the defensive end every night. He's a great two-way guard.
Yep. I like that. I'm good with IT and Lowry, and I think that's legitimate too. You could certainly make the case to start DeRozan. You could certainly make the case to start, you know, like a Kemba Walker. But I think that Isaiah Thomas leads the East in scoring. So that is legitimate. If you lead the entire conference in scoring, that is a legitimate starter. So that's not even pure homerism. That, I think, is legit. Okay, our forwards in the East. I think just put in LeBron, obviously.
He deserves it.
That's a gimme. I think Jimmy Butler is a starter.
Especially after the week he had with a couple 50 or close to 50-point performances. Bring on Jimmy Bucket.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go with the Greek freak. I'm putting Giannis Antetokounmpo in there as my fifth starter.
I 100% agree with you. He's putting up stat lines that no one has done since, like, Wilt Chamberlain in terms of amount of averaging points, assists, blocks, rebounds. He's basically the total package. He plays center for them on defense and point guard for them on offense. He's definitely an all-star, and the Celtics drafting Kelly Olynyk in front of him.
Hey, you know,
I know.
You said that on purpose to tweak me there. I have said, like, we need to let that go. That, yes, Danny Ainge took Kelly Olynyk at the 13th spot, and Giannis went 15th. But he went 15th, which means a lot of players went ahead of him. Most notably, Anthony Bennett, who just got waived by the Brooklyn Nets today. So he went first. So if we knew, you could sit there and say, well, if we knew then what we know now, well, yeah, if we knew then what we know now, sure, Danny Ainge would pick him if he was available at 13. But if we knew then what we know now, there's no chance he even gets the 13. He might go first or second or third in that. So he's clearly been much more than what people expected. So, but I think we need to understand that he was never going to be a Celtic. And you know what? Even if he was, John Hammond was the Bucks GM, was on a recent Woj podcast, and he nailed it. Right player, right situation, right time. It all worked out. And there's no guarantee that he would be doing this for the Celtics or for any other team. Just situation matters. And so that's my little mini rant on that. Let's get back to the all-stars. Now we get to pick the subs.
All right, we got to pick seven of them, I believe.
Yeah. So let's sort out these guards. I think Kemba Walker's in.
Kemba Walker, I would say, is in. I would say John Wall is in. I would say DeMar DeRozan is in.
Well,
and I would even say Kyrie Irving is in. I'd put all of them in.
Really?
I just don't know what other forward. I would put that many guards in because I don't know what other kind of forwards are deserving for those remaining roster spots. So, I mean, well, let's go to our definites. I would say definitely Kemba Walker and definitely DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
Where does that leave us?
Well, if you got Kemba and DeMar, you've got now four guards. That leaves us with questions. I don't think Kyrie Irving misses the All-Star game. Now, here's the question. Are we going with our picks, or are we going to try to because Kyrie is going to make this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's very questionable to see if he deserves it. There's been many a debate, especially this season, about how he's kind of plateaued as a player and his advanced statistics, especially in terms of like box plus minus and stuff like that, has been terrible on the defensive end of the floor. So I say we go with our picks. It's
okay.
Kind of hard to make that decision because you know he's going to be there, but let's go with who we think is the most.
Okay,
deserving.
So we got Kemba, we got DeMar.
I would include John Wall. Wall has been very good this season.
Okay, let's put John Wall in. I agree to put him on the list. I think he's the guy that gets left off ultimately. If the fan voting puts Kyrie in and another guard has to be left off, I feel like Wall ends up being the guy who gets left off because of the team's record overall. Fair or not, that's going to be the situation. So, all right, let's table the guard discussion for now. Because
all right, so we have four spots.
We have
forwards.
Right. So we've got Kemba, DeMar, Wall, IT, and Lowry. That's five guards. I think right now that's going to be good. Does Paul George,
he's definite candidate. I would put him on there. I'd also say Kevin Love deserves a spot on the team. He's been having kind of the best numbers of his career, and as we saw in that Celtics game, is pretty much unstoppable if he has an open three. So I think Kevin Love, as much as there's so much hate for Cleveland in my heart, I think he deserves a spot on the All-Star team.
Okay, so I'm going to throw Love on the list. What about Porzingis?
Personally, I kind of want him in the All-Star game.
I would love him in the All-Star game.
I always say throw him on the team. Why not?
Well,
the Latvian prince.
And I think you throw him on there in lieu of Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the problem with the All-Star game. Is you know Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, or there's a good chance that both of them are going to be on the team, but neither of them are really doing anything, especially Carmelo Anthony. He's kind of a shell of his former self, can really only kind of make open threes at this point. I know he kind of demands the ball, but the Knicks are a mess right now, and it's a lot to do with Carmelo Anthony. But Porzingis is really playing quite well, and I think given his body of work, he deserves to be in an All-Star game. And I know that's kind of absurd to say after I just trashed Carmelo Anthony, who's been around for much longer, but Porzingis is a much more talented player and is kind of just, he deserves it just based on that talent alone.
Okay, let's work with this here. Joel Embiid.
I don't know if I can allow a person on a minutes restriction to play in the All-Star game as much as I want Joel there. One, he's the best Twitter salesman ever. Where he did the fake Donald Trump manual retweet was gold. He's doing everything. And I really want him to get his crush with Rihanna, who said, come back when you made an All-Star team. So I think he's borderline right now, but no one immediately jumps to mind who should be, who's more deserving than Joel Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the centers in the East, he's right there. And in fact, if you do the per 48 minutes, obviously he's on the minutes restriction, but it's more amazing that he's doing what he's doing, even on the minutes restriction. So if you pull it out to per 48 minutes, he's averaging 37 points per 48 minutes. So better than Brooke Lopez. You know, even guys like Miles Turner and Hassan Whiteside, those guys don't project out like that. So, you know, I'm going to give the big guy, and we need one true center on this team. I'm going to give the big guy some love. I want to put Embiid on the list.
That's fair to me because I really am looking through the people who might make it ahead of him, like Whiteside, Drummond. None of really is having an amazing year.
Nope.
And you want to showcase your young stars, and you want to showcase amazing talent like Embiid, so why not? Put him in.
Yeah, I think that's solid. So now, we've got our starters, Thomas, Lowry, LeBron, Butler, Giannis. with Kemba, DeMar, John Wall, Paul George, Kevin Love, Porzingis, and Joel Embiid as your bench.
That is a solid squad right there. I'm just imagining the All-Star game in like 3 years when the East starts Embiid, Porzingis, and Giannis, and it's going to be terrible.
Oh, my God. That, I mean,
that young front court is amazing.
Seriously, it really is. Okay, so that means we have left Kyrie Irving off of our list. Who else is getting snubbed in the East with our show here?
Bradley Beal, maybe.
Yeah, I mean Beal's having a nice year.
Jabari Parker. None of these names I'm saying really stand out to you as like an all-star.
I think really in the East, that's a solid list. I'll go with that list. I like that team.
I think we nailed it.
Okay,
I'm gonna just say we nailed it. Move on.
Let's move on. West. I think our West guards are pretty obvious in Westbrook and Harden.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's done and done. Now, there's some question about the forwards because you got a lot of good choices. And you'd think like Durant is a lock to start. Right? You got Durant.
Yeah, he's scoring at kind of the normal Durant pace, but then he's also, every Warriors game I'm watching, I'm extremely impressed with how he's playing defensively. I think he is definitely a lock to start, and I would put him in there alongside Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You got so many bigs, and they're all going to make it, but who starts and who doesn't? So, yeah, Kawhi, you've basically got Durant, Kawhi, Cousins, and Davis as four guys for three spots. So we'll say Durant. We'll put Kawhi in there. And I'm all about Anthony Davis. So I want to start Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I would give the nod to Davis as well. He's averaging a little bit more than Cousins, a little bit better shooting percentage. And I just think of him as kind of a bouncier and more dominant defender. Maybe that's just definitely recency bias since he just came into the Garden and dropped 38. But he was amazing to watch, mm-hmm. And so we'll give him the start. But that means Cousins definitely is our first reserve for the Western Conference.
Yeah. So that puts Steph Curry on the bench, obviously. Let's see. Klay? I would say Klay Thompson makes that team. No?
Do we put three Warriors on the bench and Draymond as well?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't know about Draymond's. Just he has that year where he's clearly very, very important to the Warriors, but is he doing enough statistically to justify getting on the team? And I don't think so. So I think he gets left off.
All right, that's fine by me. We got it. This is all about tough choices.
So yeah,
I'm fine with that. Draymond's off and Klay is on.
Okay.
So that leaves us four more spots.
So we have. I think we need another Rocket, and I think
I was about to say Eric Gordon has been shooting the lights.
That's the name I'm going for. Yeah, I think Eric Gordon. Now. He's having a really great year. Off the bench, he's like, I think he's the obvious sixth man of the year at this point. We do not have right now CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard on our list. So, and they're both really
Damian Lillard's
top 10 in scoring right now. And I know that's not everything, but he's really kind of carrying the Trailblazers right now. I feel like he kind of deserves it. But also, you run into the same guard problem because we don't have Chris Paul right now, who we haven't brought up. We haven't brought up anyone from the Clippers, so it would either be Chris Paul or DeAndre Jordan. But I don't think DeAndre Jordan makes it, because there's also the case of, what about Marc Gasol? There's a lot of – the West feels a lot more difficult, the West reserves, than did the East, because there's a lot of deserving players who kind of play the same position. So you don't you want to kind of avoid that redundancy.
All right, so we got to put Lillard on. He's in.
Yeah, I'm with that.
So Dame is in. We haven't even mentioned Chris Paul. We kind of have to put Chris Paul in, right?
You would think so. And then that's 5 point guards in the West.
I mean, does he get left off?
He could. I'd say he's in for now. But can't think of many other players who deserve it more than Chris Paul right now. But I think we probably need a representative from the Memphis Grizzlies, because there's no reason that they should be playing as well as they have. And
right.
I think Marc Gasol is.
Absolutely. Marc Gasol is in.
All right. So I think we need one more spot, if I have that correctly.
No, we've got Boogie, Curry, Clay, Lillard, Gasol. So that's 5. We need 2 more. Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm going to pull up his stat line. He's averaging 21 a game. I think that...
Again, you're showcasing young talent. He is right there with all of the insane bigs. He's in that team picture with Davis and Giannis and Embiid. You know, that freakish big guy. And look, Minnesota, he's the guy. Wiggins is obviously having a great year too, scoring. But yeah, I think you need Towns. I definitely think you need Towns. And, you know, we don't have anybody from the Utah Jazz. We don't have anybody from the Clippers right now. We don't have this is tough. This is tough.
Yeah, someone's gonna get snubbed.
Yeah, I'm putting Towns in.
So it comes down to our last spot. I feel like it's between Chris Paul or Gordon Hayward. Knowing that we already have that many guards, and knowing the kind of the unrest that Gordon Hayward caused in our city so recently, I feel like you have to give.
You gotta
it on
give.
To
yeah, him. You know what? I think you do. I think you do, because and the Utah Jazz need a representative. I think they're a good enough team.
So do the Clippers, though.
Oh, boy.
Why don't we toss this out to the reigning Jays fans? They can tweet at us with the hashtag reigning Jays. Who is more deserving, Chris Paul or Gordon Hayward? Because it doesn't feel like we have a strong enough argument either way.
I'm putting Hayward in. Screw it.
All right. Screw the Rainy Chase fan.
No, dude, look, people can weigh in. Use the hashtag Rainy Chase. Give us your all-stars. The only thing I would say is maybe you take Klay Thompson off and you put Chris Paul in. If you're sitting there and you're trying to be fair and give the Clippers, who, granted, they've had some recent struggles, but at full strength, they are a contender. You got to give them somebody. Blake Griffin's been hurt. DJ not doing, you know, he's obviously does a lot, but, you know, if we're giving Towns and Gasol some love and starting Anthony Davis and putting Boogie in there, he gets left off. So why don't we do this? I'm going to take Klay off and put CP3 in.
I don't know about that. Klay Thompson's still averaging 21 points a game on a team where he's playing alongside Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Yep.
That's kind of impressive.
Super impressive. It's super impressive. But the other thing we could do is take Lillard off.
Well, no, the Portland people would be very upset with that.
Right.
They don't handle these things well. All right, I would say we'll put Chris Paul on there because he's the head of the players' union, and he avoided a lockout and avoided a strike. We'll reward him for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, wow. All right. I will take. Man, taking Clay off really hurts. But, you know, in the interest of fairness, I still think it should be Clay, and just it's going to be a weird year for the Clippers to be really good but not have a representative, I guess.
All right, I'm with you. I really did not feel good about taking Clay Thompson off, looking at his stats right now.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you average 22 points a game when you're playing alongside Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, who are also averaging in the mid-20s? The Warriors are ridiculous. They're not going for 72 wins right now, and they had that kind of blow up the other night, but the Warriors are still ridiculous and still definitely deserve to have three representatives, especially if Draymond's not getting on the team. So I'm locking it in. Clay Thompson.
Yeah.
Western Conference All-Star. Sorry, Chris Paul. I love what you did for the Players Association, but not this year. No All-Star game for you. Go on the banana boat. Carmelo's going to be there. Dwayne's going to be there. It's going to be fantastic.
Okay, so Clay is in. I do think the debate is actually, it shouldn't be Clay. I think the debate is Lillard versus Chris Paul. And you get the Clippers at 26-14, the Blazers at 16-23. Yeah, Damian Lillard is you know, balling out like he usually does, but at 16-23, does that hurt his chances?
It probably should. But Chris Paul's only averaging about 17 points a game, and I know I'm really relying on points scored right now because it's the kind of the easiest stat to be looking up. But I don't know. I feel like Damian Lillard is carrying. Imagine what the Clippers or the Trailblazers would be without Lillard right now. I don't know. He's higher ranked in PER than Paul. It just feels. I don't have that much evidence to back it up, but Lillard just feels like more of an all-star this season than Chris Paul. So I would, if it came down to brass tacks, I would go with Lillard.
I tend to agree. He's having a nice year. Look, Chris Paul, 17, almost 18 points a game, almost 10 assists, 5 rebounds. I mean, obviously, still really good, but you know, a little short of his career averages, and you know. You know what? It's our show. It's our rules. And somebody's going to get left off, so screw it. Chris Paul, you're out. You're out. So, to recap, the West. Westbrook, Harden, Durant, Kawhi, Anthony Davis are your starters. I like that. Boogie, Curry, Clay, Lillard, Marcus Gasol, Karl Anthony Towns, and Gordon Hayward. All deserving guys. All deserving guys. And in the East, again, Isaiah, Kyle Lowry, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with Kemba, DeRozan, Wall, Paul George, Kevin Love, Porzingis, and Joel Embiid. That's a nice All-Star game. I like that.
That's a fun time. I would watch that All-Star game. I don't normally watch the actual game.
Yeah. We'll throw these guys out there. And hopefully the East will be coached by Brad Stevens after the Celtics beat the Raptors on Tuesday night and roll on to get the second seed in the East, at least by All-Star break time. All right. Nice show. If you want to share your picks or dispute any of our picks, by all means, tweet us. Hashtag Rain and Jays. Let us know who you want on, who you want off, and let's have that discussion. And if you are not a subscriber to the show, please do subscribe. We are everywhere on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is. If you have an app, you just want to plug the RSS feed, go to our Audio Boom page. It's right there. Grab it, plug it into the app, or you could probably just search for Locked On Celtics. It'll pop right up. Like I said, we are everywhere. Give us that 5-star rating. It really, really helps. And also check out the rest of our network, the Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, and all of our friends at the opposing teams, Locked On shows. They all do great work. Thanks again to our sponsor today, SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code LOCELTICS to get a $20 rebate on your first ticket purchase. That's the show. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.